Welcome to episode 116 of the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network. And it's almost Christmas. Yes, it's time to start celebrating, overdose on turkey, hopefully get some fantastic gifts and spend lots of time with loved ones, family and friends. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about wrestling. And we're hoping this is going to be quite a short episode because we've got a lot going on, as I'm sure you have as well. But we've got an email to talk about. We've got the results from Roadblock to talk about. And, of course, there's a little thing that's happening in January known as the WWE UK Championship Tournament that we really want to talk about. So let's find out who I have with me. And it's the first time we've done a duo, just the two of us. It's me and PK. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on. Again, it's anytime anything UK wrestling comes up, it seems to be the go-to, but I'm certainly not complaining about that.
Isn't that how it should be?
Definitely.
To be honest, we have been hoping to get Adam on tonight as well to get his take on all this, but work's holding him up. He may yet make it, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to hold my breath just in case. We're going to go into our email we've got this week. Before we do that, just to remind you, you can contact us right here on this show using any of the following. You can email us, europeuppercut@gmail.com. You can send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/europeanuppercutpodcast. Or, of course, you can tweet us on Twitter @theEUpod. So, right, okay, let's just get into this email. And it comes, as always, PK, from Mr. Fourth Row. And he's given us a little bit of fun this week. He says, hello, once again, it's Mr. Fourth Row, I should say, with an email that hopefully will be a lot of fun for this Christmas season. So, if you had two wishes, one serious and one for total fun that you would like granted for this holiday season, what would they be? For me, they would be, for the serious, for TNA to become more stable, finally drop the TNA name and just be known as Impact Wrestling. For the fun wish, that is for Donald Trump to wear a WWE Championship belt at his inauguration. After all, he is a WWE Hall of Famer. And WWE does send championship belts to sports teams when they win. Wishing you the very best for this holiday season. Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. So that's a bit of a fun one for us to chat about, and there's a few things I'm sure we could have lots of fun ones and lots of serious ones, but let's focus in on one each. Let's start with the serious one first.
From a slightly selfish point of view, my serious one is that TNT Extreme Wrestling completely sells out the O2 Academy in February, and we have a absolute barn burner of a show, and we get more and more people coming back and spur on a really good 2017 for the promotion.
Absolutely. For my serious one, it's that for WWE to continue on what seems to be an attempt to become far more genuine of its approach to handling outside talent and ensure that they are stabilized and utilized effectively going forward over the next year and not just drop from a great height whenever WWE get bored, which is more of a Vince thing than a Triple H thing from history, but we'll see how that kind of pans out over time. Now for the fun one, something silly, what you got in mind?
That TNA goes full batshit and just lets Matt Hardy and Jeremy Borash do everything from now on, and then just see how long it lasts.
Did you watch Total Nonstop Deletion?
I did. That was, it was certainly a thing.
I can't decide if it was utter genius or utter garbage.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you on that one. Like the fact that you had a genuinely good match with Edwards and Lashley, which then spilled out to outside, kept cutting back to in between the Apocalypto. Yeah, the Express that rock and rolled, as Matt Hardy puts it. Exchanging wrist locks on top of cherry
top
pickers
of cranes.
with Brother Nero. It was completely nuts. I think it would just be quite interesting.
Well, let's not forget about Rockstar Spud versus Maxwell.
And then the drone landing in the ring to count the pinfall in the women's match until the referee pulled him out.
At first it looked like the Vanguard one was going to be the competitor in that match. And then, of course, random appearances by Hornswoggle and Animal as well.
Yeah, and then you had Abyss and Crazy Steve straight up killing people, stabbing people's necks, which is certainly a way to go when it comes to eliminations in that match.
Yep, the great big rock to someone's head was certainly an interesting camera angle.
Yeah, very much so.
But yeah, so if that was a thing for next year, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I can't decide.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be. If they get to do something like that again, it'd be interesting to see how they try and top it. Yep. To be honest.
Yeah. For my fun thing for this year, I would like WWE to have an all-new gimmick battle royal for the final episode of Raw for the Year, featuring former WCW, ECW, and WWE talent.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to do, certainly.
It sounds like you've got a bit of a house full.
Yeah, me niece and nephews have just shown up, so I'm ducking upstairs temporarily out the way.
Welcome then briefly to the show. Yeah, so I'd like to see another fun gimmick battle royal. It's been a long time since WrestleMania 17, so I'm sure it's safe enough to go back to. And you could use, you know, talent from a slightly later era as well, so there's plenty of them out there.
Oh, definitely. If they did something like that, though, they'd have to try and license Enter Sandman just for the one time, just so you could get a proper big stage entrance for Sandman.
and I do want them to use Disco Inferno, even though he was in Total Nonstop Deletion as well.
Yeah, again. And now, again, on Total Nonstop Deletion, the Shane Helms stuff was genuinely brilliant. Like, the budget that WWE have got compared to TNA, and TNA are the only ones to actually give the Hurricane superpowers.
Yeah, he flew. And we had a whole breakup of his little faction. Whether that continues into storylines into the new year is a whole other question.
Yeah, because it was well done in that respect. It was completely batshit, and as a standalone show, it could just stand alone as its own entity. Yeah. But they still tied it back to stuff which was going on. So
it's, I hear you're listening on DVD as well.
Wouldn't surprise me. It'll certainly sell well.
It's a unique product. Let's put it that way. Anyway, back to the question in hand. So, Mr. Forfro, we've given you some our thoughts there, but we'd like to welcome in any other ideas from anyone else. What would you like to see over the festive season for WWE? Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, and we'd love to see what you've got to say on those. But that's all from there. We're going to swiftly move on with the next part of this show.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's your cell. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
So, this last weekend, we had WWE's Roadblock End of the Line pay-per-view coming to us from the PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Mick Foley still thought he was on Monday night. But hey, that's another conversation.
I still hate the name for that show. WWE Roadblock is fine.
I think it was just because there was two in the one year. They just wanted to kind of separate them some way, and that's the way they felt.
Or
they
just
had
call
to
it WWE End of the Line. Have a very Attitude-era style name and drop the Roadblock bit.
Yeah, I agree. That would have been better. That's certainly been better. Double names never really worked. I mean, it makes me feel like we're going back to the In Your House days.
Yeah, definitely. That's the vibe I got as well from it, to be honest.
And we don't want to be doing that. But yeah, and I'm going to say that I've heard mixed opinions on the overall feelings. And I know Kai wasn't all that in love with the show. I felt it was a little above average. I thought it was okay. It was still quite good. There were some good high points in it. A few weaker points, yeah, I have to agree. What was your overall feeling on it?
I enjoyed it, but a lot of the action you would just see on Raw.
The way there was no real reason for that pay-per-view to exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there was some genuinely good stuff, some really big moments, but again, I think if they'd done like the tag title change on Raw, it would have had just as much impact.
Okay, fair enough. Let's kind of quickly run through the results and then we'll break down the matches in a little bit more detail without going too much into it. So we opened with the kickoff show where we had Rusev and Big Cass, and a straightforward singles match, Rusev getting the win on that. Tag team championship match, New Day defend against Cesaro and Sheamus. We've got a title change right there. Cesaro and Sheamus walked away with the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. Sami Zayn, Braun Strowman. Sami Zayn has to survive the 10-minute time limit, and he does. Now, I still disagree with the fact that that's been put through as a win to Sami Zayn. To me, that's just a draw because that's how time limits work, but hey-ho. Singles match, Chris Jericho versus Seth Rollins, and a win for Seth Rollins on that. Triple threat match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship, Rich Swann, Brian Kendricks, TJ Perkins. Rich Swann retains. 30-minute Iron Man match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Sasha defends to Charlotte, and we've got a new WWE Raw Women's Champion with Charlotte Flair taking the title back in her hands. Last match of the night, and it was a WWE Universal Championship match. We've got Kevin Owens defending against Roman Reigns. A little bit of help from his good old friend Chris Jericho. Kevin Owens retains, and we'll come back to that when we go through the picks very shortly. So that, in a nutshell, is the show as it was. Let's just quickly break it down, and we'll look at the picks and give some quick thoughts on the matches. So at the kickoff show, we mentioned New Day defending issues, Sheamus and Cesaro with a title changing hands. The majority of folks seem to go with Sheamus and Cesaro taking that. Only Mop, DRG, myself, GBL, and Yamar went with New Day. Everybody else went with Sheamus and Cesaro. Nobody put any points in it. I will mention, in terms of our pick sheet, due to things that happened during the week, I'm not going to go into it, Kata has come out from the picks. So the EU side of things is a little two-person lighter than it has been. So we've got a little bit of an upward hill if we've got any chance of beating WrestleCast by the end of this season. Your thoughts on that kickoff match? Personally, I just thought it was fine. It was good. It was a fun match, but I've actually seen better from both.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I enjoyed it as a match. The you got the big moments of the title change, and the New Day genuinely sold it as they were devastated that they lost those titles. Yeah. The only thing which bugged me, and this might be me being really nitpicky, as I've been known to do, but I thought the whole point of that segment on Raw where they had the barroom fight was the fact that they were on the same page now. And then the second they win the titles, Sheamus is grabbing both belts and it was all me and I did it. And it's like, what was the whole point in that segment?
Well, actually, even Raw last week, they were back at odds with each other straight after that, the week after the barroom Raw segment. So it's like, which way are we going with this?
Yeah, if anything, I think they should now be at the point where they begrudgingly respect each other. They may not like each other, but they begrudgingly expect each other and know that they need each other to carry on and maintain those belts.
And the petty
not
snatch from their titles doesn't...
With no change.
The petty snatch from their titles by Sheamus just doesn't really feel right at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. And even when they got the new belts on Raw, it was the same. Sheamus picked them both of the new belts up.
Those new belts, though.
Yeah, colour, Photoshop colour swap again. But
much nicer than the copper belts.
Yeah, at least the silver now. They've gone up a grade, metal-wise.
Yeah.
But can't have SmackDown not doing it by having a silver belt.
Not exactly, but it fits in with the branding of the Raw title belts now. It feels a bit more of a family of titles.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So let's move on to Big Cass versus Rusev. Quick looking at the sheet again. DRG, AA, Carp, Kai, Kiwi, and Yalmar all picking Big Cass. Everybody else saying Rusev. Adam with a +5. Me with a +3. Old School with a +5 in terms of the bets on that one. Yalmar had put a +5 on interference during that match, which was wrong. So -5 for Yalmar on that. Your feelings on the match, though?
It was what it was. It was the exact sort of thing that they could have just done on Raw to further the rivalry. And they did do it on Raw the next night, and nothing else got solved really after that either.
Yeah, I've got other question marks about the relationship they were trying to do with Rusev and what's his name? I've just gone blank. Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're trying to do there. In fact, there was a lot of strange things going on with the continuity this week. Cause, I mean, what was going on with Sin Cara? I thought he was now competing with the cruiserweights, and yet he was in a normal match on Raw.
So, yeah, I thought that as well.
I'm not really getting what's going on. There's a lot of confusion. I think somebody somewhere is not paying attention in class.
Yeah, that's it. The continuity has definitely gone out the window a bit.
Okay, so let's move on from that too. Now, this has been an interesting conversational piece, this match. We've got Sami Zayn, Braun Strowman, and if Sami Zayn lasted 10 minutes, that's what the match was all about. And when we did the picks, a lot of folk had put themselves down as draws. There's been updated to time limits in terms of our picks, so in terms of clarification. We weren't going to say it was just going to be a draw. We were saying it was going to be the full time limit.
Yeah, I was quite careful with my wording. I actually put Sami Zayn will survive the time limit because I didn't know how they were going to play it when it came to whether it was a win or a draw.
Yeah. So in terms of that, if anyone said draw or time limit, or they said Zayn to win, we've given them points because WWE did announce Zayn as the winner of that match. So based on that, Biohazard had a +5 on Strowman. Yowch. Mop had Strowman, Old School, Carp, and Kiwi all had Strowman. Everybody else getting it right with either draw, time limit, or Zayn, but Double A having a +5 on his. So well done, Double A. Now we get into the fun of Rich Swann, TJ Perkins, and Brian Kendrick. What was your feelings on this match? Personally, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was good fun. It lifted this pace of things, this particularly after the Sami Zayn Braun Strowman match, and changed the pace going forward as well. So it made sense having this match position where it was on the card.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think unfortunately they played it slightly wrong. I really enjoyed the match because it was technical and I like technical wrestling, but the cruiserweights are not as over as characters to get away with putting on a 20-minute technical match, so they did lose the crowd a bit. When Neville is getting chanted, thank you, Neville, for beating the crap out of the top three contenders in that division, you've made a misstep there. But I thought Neville coming down at the end, the facial expression he had, like walking down with a purpose, was absolutely superb. And then the promo we cut on Raw as well was absolutely on money. And I'm made up to see that he's actually finally starting to get something behind him.
Yeah, I've seen this to Kai during the week. I thought that really made a difference to, one, his character persona going forward, but it really changed the mood for the night as well, because it was like, oh, we weren't expecting that. Where's that come from? We've got a proper heel turn that was literally out of the blue. There was no build-up to it. It just came in. But he came in, as you say, with that purpose, with that stride all the way to the ring, and he made his impact. He really did. And I'd be interested to see how far they go with this going forward.
Personally, for me, he needs to get the belt sooner rather than later and then keep it for a long time, become like the dominant badass of that division.
Neville on the mic, on the entire time he's been with WWE, he's never really seemed at one on the mic. He never really felt at home on it. Hopefully this change of persona really helps him, you know, adjust and grow with that. And giving him more mic time is the only way he'll really overcome it. So it was good to see him getting that time on Raw. And let's see what happens with that going forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I've never seen Neville be a heel anywhere. Even when he was on the indies, he was Mr. High-Flying, happy, smiley baby face.
Yeah.
So this is definitely an interesting dimension to his character.
Look at the picks for that match. Only DRG picked Perkins and only Mr. Old School picked Kendrick. Everyone else going for Swan. Lots of bets on this one. Heavyset +5, Katie +5, Biohazard +5, Carp +5, Me +3, GBL +5, Kai +5, Kiwi +5, and yourself +5. So lots of points across the board for this match. Takes us to the WWE Raw Women's Championship match and Sasha defending against Charlotte. Now, I've got to do the picks first and then we'll chat about it. We've got it's kind of half and half on this one. Katie said Banks, Biohazard Banks +5, Mop Banks, Carp Sasha Banks, Kai Sasha Banks +5, Adam +5 on Sasha, Kiwi +5 on Sasha, yourself with Sasha, all getting it wrong. Get it right. Yamar with Charlotte, GBL, me with a plus two, Old School, Double A, DRG with a plus five, and Heavy Set. Now, this match, it went to full 30 minutes as it was an Ironman match, but they obviously forced it to continue so that he could get a definite winner at the 2-2 stage. It was how was this for you? We have seen Sasha in an Ironman match before. Was it better with Charlotte instead of Bayley? How did you feel about it overall?
I really enjoyed it as a match. But my big problem is, and Big E put it best on Raw. He said Charlotte's on her way to beating her dad's record for title runs within the month.
It's beautifully.
And I'm glad they've moved on from it, and they've moved on to Charlotte and Bayley instead, and Nia Jax and Sasha. But the fact that I genuinely voted for Sasha because I thought this was the time that Charlotte loses on pay-per-view. It's been 18 months or whatever. Yeah. Now's the time, and it would make sense that, like, even that final moment of Sasha locked in the figure four and doesn't tap out, doesn't give up and wins 2-1 would have been a great ending, and the crowd would have loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But when she tapped out with 2 seconds to go, the crowd just went, meh.
Yeah, it's just too predictable.
And then she tapped out within a couple of minutes of the overtime as well, which you're having your main female babyface tapping out twice is not the best way to book her, personally.
No. I mean, this rivalry had kind of come to an end somewhere, and it was kind of predictable where they were going afterwards. It just doesn't feel like a natural conclusion, and that's the problem. I think if they hadn't gone with the Iron Man stipulation, if they'd just gone with a normal anything-goes match and kind of kept it more open, we'd have been a lot more welcoming to it.
Yeah, definitely. And don't be wrong, I'm not the actual action within the match was great, but I think it's just that, again, that's just those booking decisions which didn't go over too well with me, personally.
Yeah, no, I totally get where you're coming from. Right, okay, let's move on from that and not get too hung up on what that was. It takes us to Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho. I'm not necessarily doing this in order. I've just realised I've gone right off key in terms of the order of things. I've been looking at the pick sheet rather than the list of matches that I had already set up. But hey-ho, let's chat about that now we're talking about it. In terms of the pick sheet, everybody said Rollins except Kiwi Tuts, who said Jericho, and quite a few bets on those getting it right as well. So Yamar plus five, PK, you had plus three, Adam plus two, Old School plus five, Double A plus five, DRG plus five, Katie and Heavyset both with plus fives as well. So lots of points garnered over that match. And I think this helps set the pace for later on with the Kevin Owens-Roman Reigns match. We've seen a lot of interaction between Jericho and Owens over the course of the night as well. What did you feel on this one?
Again, I enjoyed it as a match, but it was a very standard Raw match. You know, these two guys are more capable of going even further than this.
Yeah.
And I liked the finish to set up things for later on with, like, the miscommunication and leading to the pedigree, but I just think it just reeks of this card being thrown together a bit.
Right, okay, yeah, fair enough. I could see exactly where you're coming from on that. The whole Jericho and Owens thing, it feels like the way it's been going the last 2-3 weeks, it feels like there have been multiple rewrites on what they want to do with it. And whether that's to do with whether they knew Chris Jericho was staying or going or not, I don't know, because we all know Chris has had a history of coming around for a few months, disappearing. This is the longest run he's done for years. And obviously, we all love what he's been doing. Don't get me wrong, we absolutely love everything he's been doing. But who knows where it's going in the new year. So obviously, we don't know what he's got planned. Has he got any dates lined up with Fozzy, for example? We'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I thought as a match, it was fine.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough, no problem. So that's what that was, and let's move on to the main event of the night. Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, obviously the WWE Universal Championship on the line. And it all boils down to Chris Jericho coming into the ring towards the end of the match, and Codebreaker to Owens in the face, and he basically hands Owens the title. Again, playing on that, are they friends anymore? Are they not? It was a bit kind of obvious where they were going, especially the positioning of everybody. But it's done whatever they intended it to do, so I'm not going to get hung up on it. And it got me a bonus point because I did deliberately put on as a bet Owens wins due to a DQ plus two, because I thought something exactly like this could happen.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think it was the only way they could have done it, because no matter how what people like want to see or not, they still got the hard on for Roman Reigns. He's not going to lose, and everything up until Jericho coming in, it was reeking of he's going to kick out of everything Owens throws at them, hit one spear, and then pin him. And I think there would have been a genuine riot if that happened. So, because even casual fans that I know are spotting that formula now, and it's winding them up. Not even people like us who watch it day in, day out, and have done for years.
Yep.
So, hopefully, the mini Shield reunion doesn't tarnish Seth and only makes things better overall. But that's my big concern, is the fact that Seth's now teaming up with Roman again.
Yeah.
Will it tarnish Seth Rollins rather than boost Roman Reigns?
Yeah, and obviously there's the whole thing that happened at Tribute to the Troops that I've not actually watched. I've only seen a couple of stills from it, where we see that moment with the Shield, all three members together with AJ Styles, Anderson and Gallows, and of course the New Day all standing together, looking like they're planning on setting up some sort of long-term match, whether it's SummerSlam or WrestleMania or whatever, who actually knows. But they're doing a lot of Shieldy-like moments recently, and whether that's just testing the waters or foreshadowing, who really knows. Looking at the bets on this one, everybody's picked Owens to win, so no surprise there. Heavyset plus 5, Cage plus 5, DRG plus 5, Cart plus 5, Me plus 5, GBL, Kai both plus 5, Adam plus 3, and Yamar plus 5. The only other bet on the sheet that I've not already mentioned is GBL put in a plus 2 for a Ric Flair appearance, which didn't happen. And a very good day for my picks, I have to say. I got 21 points overall, my best in pretty much forever. And every single one of my bets came to fruition. The only thing I got wrong was New Day losing to Sheamus and Cesaro. The only person who had a better night than me with picks was Heavyset, because he did get Sheamus and Cesaro. He also got all his bets correct, so he got 22 points. Katie got 21 as well, so give her due as well. Who did worst, though? This is interesting. Who did the worst? Kiwi only got 3 points. Kiwi, you're letting his side down, man. What's it all about? You pissed off to Belgium, and I can't berate you for it. The Mop got 4 points, and Biohazard got nil. Zero, zilch, nada. Poor Bio. But, an interesting one for the picks. A lot of people getting a lot of points overall. 16s, 19s, 14s, 15s, I'm seeing across the sheet here. How that plays out now. This list is not in order, so I'm going to try and put in order as I glance over it. It has Yalmar bottom on 93, Mop second bottom on 94. Next up is GBL on 113, Me on 115. Should be on more than that. Shoo. Not after those 21 points. Me on 115. Then that takes us to Heavyset 120. 132 for Kiwi, 138 for PK, 141 for Carp, 148 for DRG, 146 for BioFirst, sorry, 148 for DRG, 152 for Adam, 158 for Katie, 162 for Double A, who am I missing? 171 for Kai and 197 for Osco. The chances of catching him now are slim to none. He is flying ahead. I need more great weeks like this one, I have to say, but
we all do, to be fair.
Right, so let's just tie that one up in a bow and tuck it away. And we've obviously got Royal Rumble will be the NXT will be the next set of picks. San Antonio.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Which is before the Royal Rumble, of course. So we've got those to look forward to when we get into January. But let's move on with this show, shall we?
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
Now, this segment is one that Peaky and I are both looking forward to chatting about. We're going to take a little preview into the WWE United Kingdom Championship Tournament, which takes place on January the 14th and 15th in the new year. That will be taking place in the Empress Ballroom in Blackpool, of all places. And bringing together a host of UK talent, I'm sure we could both add a list of other people who we think should be in this, but they've picked their 16, and we're going to have a look at that right now. First of all, did you see this coming?
No, I genuinely didn't. Obviously, with the world of sports stuff coming, British wrestling is definitely getting put more on the map now. And I think, unfortunately, that's where there's a couple of big omissions to this tournament, in the fact that some of the guys are contracted to world of sport. And apparently, from what I've heard, they've been locked into quite long contracts. Because obviously they are fully intending on going to series with it, which is great, and it gives those guys exposure. But for the people they've got some really good talent here that are going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah. Just very briefly, we're talking about World of Sport, just to remind folk that's airing on New Year's Eve, if I remember right.
Yeah, 5 PM on ITV, I think, off the top of my head.
I thought it was 4, but somewhere about then. So check your TV guides and get your TV, get it set to record, or make sure you're in position in front of your TV for that, because it's going to be a fun show. By all accounts, from what I've heard, it is a good fun show. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing that play out.
Definitely.
Right, you were saying.
Yeah, and one thing I will say about the UK Championship tournament, though, I genuinely do really like the title belt design.
Yeah, it's lovely.
It's the same shape as all the other, like, top belts, but the center plate is so different compared to them. It really does stand out, and there's elements of Scottish culture in there, there's elements of Irish culture, there's obviously elements of English culture. Took a lot of influence from the pound coin.
Yeah, and unlike the Cruiserweight Championship, they've shown us the title straight away. You know, it's the Cruiserweight, they held off and really unveiling that title. This one, boom, straight away at launch, this is what we're playing for.
Yeah, and I love the fact as well that William Regal has came out straight away on Twitter and said that there's no limitations on where the guys in this tournament can work. I assume it's going to be a similar situation to a lot of big companies where the contracted, so if WWE hold an event, they have to be available for WWE.
Yeah.
But when WWE aren't running anything, they can just carry on as normal, which is great for these guys because they get a good WWE payday and exposure.
Yeah, because normally there's at least that minimal. There's normally at least that minimal. You can't appear on anything that's being shown on TV or released on DVD. That's normally the standard kind of basic.
Yeah, which would actually cause issues for a couple of the guys in this list when it comes to stuff like WCPW and things like that.
Exactly.
So it's great that that's not going to be an issue.
So let's take a quick look, first of all, before we get into the talent, at the broadcast team. Obviously, now, I'm not 100% sold on Michael Cole being the lead commentator on this, but it is what it is. But the bigger surprise next is the colour commentator being Nigel McGuinness.
I'm absolutely over the moon with this. He's been doing great work for Ring of Honor. And if anyone's seen his Last of McGuinness documentary, people will have seen how close he was to actually being in WWE proper. And then it all fell through. He ended up in TNA, and then he had issues with his health, and then he had to retire. And the fact that he's there now and he's getting to be a proper voice for the British talent.
Yeah,
I would have preferred Mauro Ranallo over Michael Cole, I'll be honest.
Jesus, I think the same.
But Mauro Ranallo does a lot of these things, so I think they're trying not to burn people out on Mauro either. I personally would like Daniel Bryan and Nigel McGuinness on this.
Well, I was going to say the other thing is here. Is there an option that we could have had a full British table?
Yeah, personally, there is some very good commentators here in Britain. And who are very familiar with a lot of these guys. So, but I think Nigel's definitely going to be the voice of reason when it comes to a lot of the British side of things.
Yeah.
And then you've got, obviously, it's being broadcast live on WWE Network as well from the Empress Ballroom. So you do need someone who's so, has been doing the live TV element for so long.
Yeah.
He can stick to the timings and he can stick to everything and keep the show flowing. So I think that's why they've gone with Cole. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
This is really just for this one event. What they do going forward with weekly programming that they intend to have, that could totally change in terms of who that announced team is.
Yeah, definitely. I personally would like it if they did. If not only they had, obviously they had WWE sanctioned events where stuff happened, but they also showed matches from Fight Club Pro. Like say for example, Pete Dunne wins the UK Championship. He then goes to Fight Club Pro and defends it. They film it. That footage goes to WWE, and then all these other promotions then are also getting the rub of this rather than just the specific wrestlers.
Absolutely, absolutely right. It's exactly the kind of thing. It could be interesting to see how they play that through. We've started on talking about talent. Let's just quickly list out all 16 talent, and then we can go into detail on a few of them from there. So we've got Tiger Ali, Joseph Connors, Jordan Devlin, Pete Dunne, H.C. Dyer, James Drake, Sam Gradwell, Saxon Huxley, Roy Johnson, Dan Maloney, Ringo Ryan, Jack Starrs, it says seven here, should be Trent Seven, obviously.
Trent Seven, yeah.
Yeah. Tucker, Tyler Bate, Chris Tyler, T-Bone, and Wolfgang. Now, where do you want to start? Who do you want to talk about the most? Who are you most excited about?
I've got to show you bias slightly. The Fight Club Pro guys are always going to get big ups from me. You've got Pete Dunne, Dan Maloney, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate. When I first saw Tyler Bate wrestle when he was 14 for Great Bear Promotions, and then you could tell he had something special about him. And then when on the WWE website, you've got Triple H calling him a wonder and he's going to shock the world. That is just crazy to me because he's only 19 or so now. So those four guys are always going to get big ups from me. And obviously, then you've got a couple of the more local guys. You've got Sam Gradwell, who wrestles more locally as Ricky J. McKenzie, and James Drake, who is really on fire at the moment within Future Shock and other places. He was one of the best kept secrets for a long time. And again, he's only a young guy. I think he's 22, 23.
Yeah, there are quite a few young guys. I mean, even Jordan Devlin's quite young as well.
Pete Dunne's 23. And considering how Pete, I've had the pleasure of working on shows that Pete's been on, and he is genuinely one of the best wrestling minds for his age that I've spoke to. He just gets it, and like hence the reason why his Bruiserweight character is doing so well everywhere he's gone, because he'll do something and then he'll tweak it and fine tune it. And
I love that.
And I love the fact that like him and Trent were both interviewed on WWE's YouTube channel, and they got to get over British Strong Style and the Bruiserweight character, and it's absolutely surreal. I've been on deal to call some of Joseph Connor's matches for TNT, and the fact he's in this is crazy to me, because again, he's been one of the best kept secrets for a while.
And it's obviously, you know, it's interesting to see how many of these guys you may have come across over time have been holding out on you.
Yeah, and Chris Tyler, girl's a really good high flyer, and he and Jordan Devlin as well. Jordan Devlin from the exact town that Fergal came from.
Yeah, I was going to say this, because how many people come from Bray County Wicklow, Ireland?
Yeah, and the fact that he has been trained by Finn Balor before he went to WWE. Goes to show how the pedigree that Jordan's got. Saxon Huxley, the muscle car, he's doing really good things for Rise in Leeds at the moment. T-Bone has been around for a long time, and he's only really starting to get the recognition he deserves now. And then obviously you've got
ICW champion Wolfgang.
Yeah, which again is crazy to me that in this one tournament, you've got the ICW world champion and the Progress world champion, being with Pete Dunne and Wolfgang being both part of this. A Tiger Ali as well is not one to snooze on. He's done some fantastic things down for 4FW in Swindon.
And for those who are sitting here trying to be funny, saying what Tiger Ali sings back, don't be stupid. Get with the program.
Yeah, his character and the whole persona that he does before FW is fantastic. And yeah. if he can even remotely get that across within this tournament,
yeah,
it's going to be great for everyone.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And off the back of this, who are you not familiar with on this list?
Considering he's from Liverpool, I'm not familiar with Ringo Ryan or right. Jack Stars. I've only seen bits of HC Dyer's work, but I've liked what I've seen.
Mm.
And Roy Johnson doesn't ring a lot of bells for me. It's a bit weird. One thing I will say, it's a little bit weird calling it the United Kingdom tournament when you've got Northern Ireland and Ireland represented, when Ireland aren't part of the United Kingdom. If it was the Great British Championship, then that would make sense. But that's nitpicky. But so Tucker from Northern Ireland, I'm not 100% familiar with. I've heard he's quite a big guy. He's one of these like 6'6", deceptively agile for his size.
Also, let's have a look at this for a minute. This thing came out of nowhere, but it's obviously taken a good bit of planning and organising, because that press conference that they held had all talents present. They flew over Cole. Balor was there. Rigo was there. You know, everybody that needed to be there was there. They put a lot of effort in making this a big announcement and putting this over big time.
And the fact that it's in Blackpool, where Regal cut his teeth in an absolutely gorgeous venue. When I went to see NXT in the Empire Ballroom,
wonderful building.
It's a fantastic building. And so it's going to look not only very different to your standard NXT takeovers and those sorts of shows, but also the fact that it's live at a regular time for us to watch it.
Yeah.
Is fantastic, because that shows that they are actually dedicated to saying, no, this is a United Kingdom centric. It's not they're going to film it and then show it at 1 o'clock in the morning for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that, you know, this is a wrestling event being held in a room that's famous for ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
It's just got so many different things you could play on with it. Let's look at the big question now. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for all these UK independents that are working their arse off week in, week out to put on events in and around the country? Are talents under threat by this? Do they see their work being diminished because WWE are overshadowing what they do? Or, and on the converse of that, is this a great way for them to have their talent highlighted, pushed to the limelight, and bring more eyes to their product around the country?
I lean more towards the second option, because it's not like WWE is signing these guys the contracts and then flying them off to Florida and we're losing them.
Yeah,
they're staying in the UK, they're working, defending that belt within the UK. And then if WWE want them 6 months, 12 months down the line to go to Raw, they can snap them up because they've got them under a deal, but we're not losing them straight away, which is where I personally think it's going to be a very good thing, especially for guys like Jordan Devlin, who people may not be 100% familiar with. Jokes such as Joseph Connors, Pete Dunne, people like that have had quite a lot of exposure already because of Progress and Southside and WCPW. There's quite a few guys on this list that are going to surprise people. Dan Maloney is fantastic. Dan Maloney for a long time was basically just Tyler Bates' tag team partner. They trained together at Fight Club Pro. They had the first dojo matches together at Fight Club Pro on the pre-show. And now he's turned into one of my favorite villains to watch. Yeah. And if Dan Maloney even comes across half as good as I know he is, people are going to be very surprised.
Absolutely. Since all this has been announced, we've had a little bit further information from Triple H. He's been talking to the press, obviously, about this to continue to promote it. It's been said that he really wants tournament to be a huge platform for showcasing the UK's best talent. In fact, he's quoted as saying, starting here and moving up the line and going through things, I think that's a huge opportunity and will help everybody down the line. So, you know, he is under the impression that this is good for the industry as a whole. He was also quizzed about Will Ospreay. Will he ever be signed? And he said, Will Ospreay is an amazing talent. There's a lot of amazing talent out there. When they're available, available when it's the right time for them. I want to work with them all. Now, obviously, Will Ospreay has said that it just wasn't the right time for him. So that's interesting that they're keeping the options open. The door is open for that. And they want to work with all of them. Now, how viable that is a whole other conversation, but it does open the door for even just a few one-off appearances or irregular use going forward for talent as and when their availability suits.
Yeah, and I think that's the clever way to do it, because someone like a Will Ospreay, who is signed to Ring of Honor, signed to New Japan, he's only just signed an extension to New Japan, I believe, and he's only just signed for Ring of Honor properly. Same for someone like a Marty Scurll. He's been mentioned as why he's not part of this tournament. Zack Sabre Jr. is one which I would have expected to be in this, but maybe there's something else keeping him out of it temporarily.
Well, obviously, off the back of the Cruiserweight tournament, he wasn't in a position where he wanted to sign with the company at the time, so whether it is due to other commitments, other obligations that he's got, then, you know, that can be worked out over time. The way that it's going, the door's still technically open, so that could still happen one day. Obviously, we'd like to see it. I wondered myself whether the conversation that William Regal's apparently said to have had earlier this year with Joe Coffey was relating to this or not. Is he someone that they could look at during the year, potentially?
Potentially, yeah. That's the nice thing about this tournament. Once the tournament's done and there's a champion crowned, the world's their oyster when it comes to getting that belt defended and getting people in to see the shows. And also, as I say, it's a great opportunity not only to make some good money for some of these guys, but also to get the name out on a worldwide level, not just national.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to say about this before we move on?
No, but I just more to say I'm absolutely pumped for this. I think it's going to be fantastic. And roll on the 14th, 15th of January. Unfortunately, I couldn't get tickets, but I will be there watching live on WWE Network.
It sounds like it was quite tough to get tickets, to be fair.
Yes, and I am. It, with it being so close to Christmas, I am cash poor at the moment, should be the best way to put it.
Feeling.
So I couldn't really justify splashing out £50 on wrestling tickets when I've got other stuff to deal with.
Neither could I. And the cost for a weekend in Blackpool.
Yeah, doesn't help that as I was driving back from the Progress show in Sheffield, my car completely broke down and it cost me £280 for a whole new clutch. Which, it's definitely put a scamper on buying tickets.
Absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm going to watch every single minute of it. It's going to be a great weekend of entertainment. I'll not be watching live because I work Saturday night, so I will just have to watch and chase it whenever I can on Saturday, probably on Sunday night and then the Monday night. But I'm looking forward to doing so. I just have to stay spoiler-free that weekend. but let's move on, shall we?
This is the Beast of Belfast, Big Demo, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
So, going into final thoughts, any last things you want to bring up for this week, PK?
Yeah, more on TNT Extreme Wrestling. Obviously, I was able to announce the venue the last time I was on.
Yes.
Since then, our main event has been announced, which I cannot wait for. It is a 4-way elimination number one contenders match featuring Wild Boar, Tyler Bates, Martin Kirby, and Travis Banks. All four people making their debut for TNT Extreme Wrestling, and I cannot wait to get those guys involved. That's going to definitely be a show stealer. We've also announced our women's bout of the evening, which is Miss TNT Lana Austin taking on Little Miss Roxy. Again, Miss Roxy making her debut, so we've got some people quite excited to see her. She's also been announced to be part of the meet and greet after the show for people who buy the Extreme level tickets. It's about an extra £5 on top of the normal tickets, but you get to meet four TNT superstars after the show. First one announced is Miss Roxy, so definitely keep a lookout on ticketweb.co.uk for that one, and keep an eye on the Facebook page. It's under TNT Extreme Wrestling Merseyside Massacre, which is the 25th of February 2017 from the O2 Academy in Liverpool.
Excellent. I've got two things I want to quickly chat on. First thing is, great to see Damo getting his NXT debut the last couple of weeks, looking really good. And also, I liked a little bit of ambiguity as to whether or not he is or is not affiliated with Sanity. So there's lots of question marks there. Of course, the likelihood of him being involved is fairly high. That he was one of the assumed names that was a candidate for that faction when we saw the teaser. So we'll just see what they do with that. But great to see him in there, in the mix.
Yeah, definitely. If anyone deserves it, it's Big Damo.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could be a great year for him. Looking forward to see what they do with him.
And the fact that Tommy End's been getting onto house shows as well.
Oh, yes. I heard about that. Yeah.
It's really good that he's getting onto shows so soon, because Tommy End's incredible.
Yeah, and someone else who will make a great impression when he gets to debut as well. So something good to look forward to there in 2017. I'm going to mention Discovery Wrestling have announced that they're going to crown their first ever women's champion in the new year. And they've announced an 8-woman tournament. And in that tournament, now, let me just quickly scroll through the names as and when I see them. First one announced was Candice LeRae.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, then we've got Lucy Cole, Sami Zayn.
Really rate Sami Zayn. She's very good.
Yeah, I've seen her live and good in ring. Viper's in there. Obviously, well-renowned. Viper getting a good bit of attention. Got to try it with WWE earlier this year.
Again, fully deserved.
Absolutely. We've also got Bette Noir. I've seen Bette perform against Nikki Storm, as she was then, Nikki Cross now. Bette, personally, I felt I was still a bit for me, but hopefully she's been growing and I will enjoy her more as the year goes on. We've got Nina Samuels in there, Debbie Sharp. And number eight, this one caught me by surprise, Angelina Love.
Yeah, that's definitely a surprising one. She's not really been taking that many bookings, to be fair, so it's quite a big get.
Yeah. So Candice LeRae and Angelina Love are the bigger names that they've pulled in for these events in terms of international recognition. But there's some intriguing potential matchups within those.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of these women have got history with each other, especially like Sammy and Viper. And
yeah.
So it's definitely going to be one to watch.
And of course, God help anyone that gets Viper. That girl means business.
Yes. I've seen her have a knockout drag out brawl with Saraya Knight, where they're literally beating each other with buckets full of money that people were collecting for charity. So, right. that was an interesting one to call.
I saw her facing off against ODB, which was an interesting match, because obviously you got two quite strong, quite dominant women in the ring at the same time. So yeah, that was a bit of a slobber knocker, to say the least. Women's slobber knockers are a very rare thing.
Yes.
But yes, that's what I've got to chat about this week. But I think, other than that, we're pretty much done for this week. So say your goodbyes and tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, find me on Twitter at PK_1UP, or alternatively on Facebook.com/Paul.Kissock, KISSOCK. Obviously, if you do follow me, I'm not going to apologise for the TNT spam, because I'm very proud of the show that we're putting together in February. So, again, just if you can get into the Liverpool area, it's right in the town centre, lots of hotels available.
Sorry, breaking news. As we're recording this, Discovery Wrestling have just gone live on Facebook, and they're going to announce who's facing who in that women's tournament. Right now.
Which is, as always, sod's law, while we're in the middle of recording.
Yes.
Find me on there, and I'm also on Instagram, PK_1UP. Not loads of wrestling related stuff on Instagram, mostly nerdy stuff, and gaming and comic related. But feel free to hit me up. Love chatting to people online, and if anyone's got any queries or questions regarding TNT, let me know.
Excellent. Before I go, I just need to quickly mention the W3L episode of Judge Rinda, which had about a couple of weeks ago. That has been postponed till January. Can't remember if Kai talked about it last week. Classic case of TV schedules taking control of people's plans. You try and help someone talk about a big event they've got going on, and then the TV channel change when they're showing the bloody programme. So that's what happened. It'll happen sometime apparently in January, unless ITV decides to change their mind again. But that's that for that. You can find me on Twitter at LivingLegend148. Check out the other shows right here on the Trending Topics Network. There's a ton of them. Let's Go for Lou Chat, What's on Fight, All Beer Inside, The Tuss Experience, CFL Easy Picks. Oh, actually, that's finished now. NFL Easy Picks, Old School at the Movies are apparently recorded in an episode tonight. Squabble Box, The Rasslecast, Tuss Experience, Spanish News Table, Legends with Kai Valentine, The One Up Club, Head Up. Me, One Up Club. Conversation has to happen. and Anything Goes. I think I've got everything there. Oh, we've got a special festive episode going to be dropping on Wednesday the 28th in between Christmas and New Year. So check that out when it comes out. I'm not going to say who's on there. Special lineup for that one. But I'm not going to even tell you anything about it other than it should be great fun. Do check that out, and we'd love your feedback on it. You can email the show, EuropeanUppercut@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/EuropeanUppercutPodcast. You can send us a tweet at the EU Pod. Please get in touch. We'd love hearing from you. Interact with us. We'll chat back. Please do that. But until then, have a fantastic Christmas. And all the best for 2017 to everybody out there. And we'll see you in 2017. Until then, the living legend has now left the building.
Oh, man! God, mother of all European uppercuts!